Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Tuesday, there's a terrific auction for vehicles, contractor, and rental yard equipment, featuring mini electric cars, boats, mowers, an expandable house, a forklift, skid steers, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Corlin Sutton said on the DNVR podcast he is going to be at mandatory minicamp next week, something that Sean Payton hinted at earlier this week as well. Does it seem like this holdout was, and I put that in quotes, was much ado about nothing, or you think there's something else honestly going on there?
I think that there are still financial issues that need to be worked out. I think that that's clear. As far as the holdout, it wasn't much of a holdout, right? I don't think. And
He missed voluntary.
Right. Really not much of a big deal. The only reason it was made to seem like a big deal was because he wasn't there.
Right.
And we mark our rosters every day to see who's there and who's not there. And that's a pretty big name when Cortland Sutton isn't there, but we need to be reminded that it is voluntary.
Mike Kliss cited an anonymous source on Twitter close to Sutton saying this about showing up to mandatory minicamp. Corlin isn't in the business of giving money away and still feels he has earned the respect of a contract adjustment as the leader of the Broncos. Nothing has changed on that front. The key two words are contract adjustment, not a brand new CeeDee Lamb, you know, Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson type of contract. He just wants some more guaranteed money. And honestly, after coming off 10 touchdowns, he was the reason why they won at least one or two games. And knowing you want to give Bo Nix as many weapons as possible, you might want to consider it. Because here, let's think about this for a second. Okay. I am not suggesting that if Cortland Sutton doesn't get a new contract, he's going to be a cancer in that locker room. I'm not suggesting that. But he's going to be unhappy. And don't you think other people just through osmosis feel that?
Yeah.
His teammates, a young wide receiver room.
I do agree. I think that you do sense that. And I'll be candid. Cortland Sutton hasn't all been roses in the locker room. He's gone through some.
Correct.
He's gone through some times where he's been a little more difficult to gauge.
He was a lot. I'm not saying he is difficult to deal with. But when he first started, oh, sure, I'll talk. Oh, now it's, can you get me later this week? Yeah. I think he has soured on losing, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. I think he has soured on the carousel of quarterbacks that he's had to play with,
right?
New offensive systems. Eventually, that stuff is going to beat you down.
It does. And we've heard the same thing from Garrett Bowles, who's gone through, you know, that similar kind of stuff to the point where it gets you doubting yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's no good. Look, I think Cortland Sutton, we talked yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, but irregardless, is this receiving room better with Cortland Sutton in it? Obviously.
Is
it better for Bo Nix and his growth and development? No question.
Okay.
No question.
Take Cortland Sutton out of the mix. Scale of 1 to 10, how good is that wide receiver room?
Taking Cortland Sutton out of the mix?
Yeah, so you have.
I'd say it's probably a 4, 5, compared, 4.5. I
compared
mean,
to the rest
think?
Of the league, yeah.
Don't you? I'm not comparing it with Cortland. I'm just saying the rest of the league, I'd say probably a 4.
And for those that take exception to that, okay, my answer is, name a guy that has proven something.
We'll wait.
That's my point.
Right.
You have two new rookies, haven't proven anything. Reynolds, nice player. He's not considered one of the top 20 wide receivers in the league. With all due respect to him, might fit in really well here. Marvin Mims, I don't know how good of a wide receiver he is. We think he's going to be really good, but he didn't get a ton of playing time.
He got 22 receptions last year. That's
right. And then you have Tim Patrick, who has missed the last 2 years, but let's be honest. I love Tim Patrick.
We're all pulling for him, but.
We are, but what has he done in his NFL career that makes you say, wow, we know he's great in the wide receiver room. We know he is a terrific leader, but none of these guys have proven anything. So if you want to go 4.5, I'll buy into that. Now add Cortland to the room. That 4.5 goes to what?
5.5.
There we go.
Right? I mean, I mean.
Makes it 10% better.
I think so. Right? And so now I will say this.
Or, you know what? No, it doesn't make it 10% better. Because let's just go down to a 4, and now we make it a 5. Now it makes it, what, 20% better?
I don't know. That's
whatever the math is on that.
That's math.
25% better?
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
That's math. We say this every 20% flipping better. Year about the receiving room. Well, there's some pieces in there, you know?
No one's proven anything.
There's some intrigue there.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm to this point now, my attitude is, okay, there may be a little bit. I will give you the intrigue, but as far as pieces, those pieces need to prove it.
If Cortland Sutton doesn't play this season, he's going to, but let's put this into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who would you think would be the most targeted guy if Cortland doesn't play? Who, in theory, would you look at as the number one wide receiver? I'll start. Marvin Mims.
Well, I mean,
I know I'm going to go with Marvin Mims.
I mean, but that's, and I think Marvin Mims can develop into a dynamic weapon. He's got a long ways to go, not necessarily all his fault because of the way that he was used or not used last year. Some of his development was, I thought, probably thwarted.
Let me finish
this
thought.
I don't know. Okay.
I think it's Marvin Mims. Okay. How many wide receivers in NFL history who have played at least 1 year in the NFL have been considered wide receiver one after the previous season made 22 catches? Probably has never happened.
I don't think that there would be a guy like
ever.
That.
Right? So my point is that should tell you how desperate the Broncos should be to making sure Cortland Sutton is in the lineup this year. He's not going to hold out because as this anonymous source told Kliss, he just wants a contract adjustment and he doesn't want to, he's not in the business of giving away money. He'll play if he has to. He just wants a taste more.
He wants a sweetener.
He wants a little respect.
Yeah. And I don't think, my guess is he's probably not being ridiculous about it. He just wants a little love. Okay.
Give me $4 million guaranteed.
Whatever the number is.
And I'm sure the cap guys will find a way to now put the Broncos $20 million under the cap with something like that.
The key here is the growth of Bo Nix. And as we have talked about, and I can't imagine there's anything that you would move you and I off center about the statements that we have already made. This season is about Bo Nix.
Yep.
Everybody else is playing. Everyone else is playing for the weekend. I get it.
I talked to a media member out there, and I posed the question to him, the same question that I posed on this show. If I told you that the Broncos would win 10 games and make the playoffs with a combination of Stidham and Wilson, but they really weren't that good, but the running game was excellent, the defense was tremendous, would you rather have that make the playoffs, or would you rather lose 11 games with Bo Nix, but he shows a lot of promise? You and I both took the latter.
Mm-hmm.
And this media member, who is widely respected out there, and I understand a media opinion doesn't mean much to a lot of people, and I understand that.
Got it.
He didn't even hesitate to say, It's all about Knicks' development. I don't even care what the record is.
It makes no difference. The record...
For Alex here, he wants to go to the playoffs.
Well, and every fan wants to go to the playoffs.
Right.
I get it.
Playoffs?
And I get it, and I feel it. But this...
Playoffs?
I would say the record would be...
Do you think I do a better playoffs than Jim Mora does playoffs?
No, you can't do better than the guy that originally did it.
I think I can.
Okay, well, I'm
playoffs.
Sure...
Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
What's the difference? You're a good mimic. I would say win-loss record.
I would say win-loss record would be third.
Third, fourth down.
Third, fourth down. I'm a great mimic.
No, you're not a good
mimic. No, I'm not a good
mimic.
Not
of me.
I'm a great mimic. Keep going.
Any idiot. Can repeat words. And you're proving it.
Coming up after the break. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
Right. I'm in a really good mood, and it's because I keep going to the trunk of my car during break.
Stop it.
You want to join me?
No.
I have something 6 feet long, and you can pour something into it. Chris Bryan, is it time to just cut bait and get rid of the guy? That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Tuesday, there's a vehicle, contract, or rental yard equipment auction featuring mini electric cars, boats, mowers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, Castle Rock Hormone Health, celebrating its three-year anniversary, and new patients are getting an unbelievable deal this month. You're going to get the regular free consult. You're also, though, going to get free labs. If you need therapy, first month is just $99, and I'm telling you, I am a patient there. That is a deal, but whatever you pay at Castle Rock Hormone Health, it is worth it if you are looking to optimize your health, and there is honestly no price you can put on wanting to optimize your health and working with people whose mission is to optimize your health, like Dr. Lee and his amazing staff. So, if you're ready to do that, and you should be, why wait another day? Go find them. They have 7 locations now in the Denver metro area, and they are expanding further than that. Check them out at crhormonehealth.com. That's crhormonehealth.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool shit since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
Have you seen the story on the United States beating Pakistan in cricket?
No.
I was in the office yesterday. I've seen cricket once. It's nothing to write home about for me, much like it would be probably nothing in England or Pakistan where you play this game to think about baseball in the same way, right? Okay. But Pakistan is like the top of the world in cricket. The United States basically has a bunch of dudes that play on the weekends. And the United States beat Pakistan in like the T20 championships. And it is being called one of the greatest upsets in the history of that sport.
Yeah.
Maybe not sports of all time.
Well, wait, is this the equivalent of 1980?
Yes. You took the words right out of my mouth. It seems to be, and I have done very little research on this, but I did admit doing a double take on this. I saw this headline come through yesterday, and I was like, what? No way. We don't even play cricket, and we beat Pakistan. It would be just like beating the Soviets in 1980 in Lake Placid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I would think. Anyway, and I read, okay, if I can find this.
Can we get some thinking music, please?
Oh, gosh.
Or do I need to do some filler?
Gotta find the. I can't find it, Alex.
I do this all the time.
Get to the cricket story on ESPN. I can't get to it right now.
Hold on.
And then read
the
like.
The cricket story on ESPN. Those are two things that don't look like the other. Find. Do they have a drop down box for cricket?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go to the.
Do they have it?
Yeah, they've got cricket.
Hold on. I'll find it. Here it is, right here.
Okay.
Computer engineer codes the greatest script. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Pac versus USA?
Yeah.
Okay.
And see if, it, well, anyway.
Computer engineer. Okay. I'll read the story. Forgive me, I can't pronounce some of these names.
No.
For the U19 and under World Cup. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Well. There was an article that I read yesterday that might as well have been Sanskrit. I didn't understand one word of it.
I can't pronounce it. I mean, I could tell you right now, some of these names would make great Scrabble words.
Well, they might.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mean to totally. It's F Around Friday. So I decided just to hijack it for a second.
Yeah.
It was something that I paid attention to yesterday, and I couldn't believe it.
I'll tell you what makes it even a bigger upset. And I'm going to steal something from a documentary I was watching last night on Lance Armstrong on Netflix, which is really, really good. And they were talking about the Tour de France and professional cycling. And somebody from Europe said that for the Americans with Lance Armstrong and Hincapie and, you know, all of the great, you know, American cyclists,
riders, right? Yeah.
For them to come over and even challenge for the Tour de France. And oh, by the way, everybody was doping. Everybody was doping.
Yeah.
So they were really all for the most part on the same playing field. Right. But I digress. This rider in Europe said, or a media member from Europe said, to do what the Americans did is pretty astounding. To even compete with the teams from Spain and France, the Russians, yada, 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 is remarkable considering cycling is a huge deal over in Europe. Generally, and this is the phrase I'm trying to get to, generally speaking, the guys who are cyclists are the guys who aren't very good at basketball and football. So you are getting the guys who really aren't very good at American sports, so they'll try this and look how good they are at this. Now, granted, we have a huge population in the United States,
right?
Over 300 million people. So likening it to this cricket story, who the hell plays cricket in the United States? And that's for Pakistan, probably outside of soccer, their number one sport and a bunch of ragtag.
It's actually more than it. That is the national sport in Pakistan. They've been ranked number one in the world for like 20 years.
When is the last time you drove by a local park and you saw kids playing a pickup game of cricket?
How about never? How about I have been all around this country and can't remember anyone ever playing cricket? They curl more than they cricket in this country.
It's kind of like Americans going to the Olympics and winning the gold medal in curling. These are sports that we just don't play. And by the way, something interesting about Lance Armstrong when he was young. He goes, I was not good at football. I was not good at baseball. I was not good at basketball or soccer. And I wanted to compete in something, so I became a triathlete. And he was a dominant triathlete at the age of 15.
Wow.
Okay, at the age of 15. Everybody knew or got wind of this kid at 15 who was going to be really good, right? And what he said, which was interesting, he said, his story is interesting, even though I think he's a piece of garbage. Not because he doped.
He just didn't fess up.
But it was bigger than that.
Yeah.
This is why I have a big problem. This is why I think that Lance Armstrong is one of the biggest jackasses in the history of sports. And it's not that he didn't fess up. That wasn't my problem.
What was it?
My problem is
how he treated people.
He sued media members for claiming he doped and won those cases.
When he knew he had doped.
That's my issue with him.
Gotcha.
Not doping.
All right.
Not that clearly doping helped him overcome cancer. Listen, what he battled, he had stage 4 cancer.
Okay? Yeah, no kidding.
He should have died. The doctor said, we told his mother he had about a 15 to 20% chance to live, but essentially we lied to his mother because we didn't want to tell her the real reality that the cancer had spread so far through his lungs and into his brain. So did he recover from cancer and win the Tour de France? Yes. Some people who are cancer survivors look at that as, you beat cancer and won the Tour de France, but you cheated. Everybody was doing it. My issue with him was he actually filed lawsuits against media members knowing he lied and then somehow won these cases.
Interesting.
So my point about Lance Armstrong was he said that the only reason he hopped on a bike is because he learned how to swim to start the whole triathlete thing. And what was interesting was, and I know this because I was a swim parent, okay? You cannot really, it's really hard to compete at a high level in swimming.
Oh my God.
When you start at the age of 12.
Right.
You are way.
So far behind the
you're
curve.
You're so far, right.
Yep.
With that, he started at the age of 12.
Huh.
And he said, I had to swim with the 7-year-olds.
I'll be darned.
Because I couldn't swim with the 12-year-olds. But eventually, and he goes, it was so humiliating, but I was so tunnel visioned that I found a way to get through. And then he became a dominant swimmer, and then he wanted to become a triathlete, and that's how he eventually hopped on the bike.
Interesting. So if we can be good at bicycling and curling and somehow cricket, who knew? Why do we suck so bad at men's soccer? Why? Why? Because there are actually decent American athletes now playing the game of soccer, but we just suck. And I mean, suck is a relative term. I guess they're ranked in the top 10 in the world or the top 12 or something like that. I guess that there's, I mean, that's fine.
You know what? I think I have an answer to that.
I'm all ears.
It has to do with watching this documentary. And I love documentaries. I don't care what they're about because I always want to learn something.
Yes. You are a big documentarian.
What Lance Armstrong said was, the reason why I gravitated towards triathlons is because I had no hand-eye coordination. You don't need hand-eye coordination when you bike. You don't need hand-eye coordination when you run or when you swim.
Right.
You need hand-eye coordination when you play soccer or foot-eye coordination. You need that type of... If you don't have hand-eye coordination, I can promise you, you probably don't have foot-eye coordination.
Okay.
Is that too much of an overgeneralization?
It might be a little bit, but I think there's something to it.
With that, if you have good hand-eye coordination, chances are you're playing basketball, football, tennis, golf, something like that. Even though...
Baseball.
Baseball
is the ultimate.
But with that...
For me, that...
Right. More kids play soccer in this country than Little League.
Yeah, but they don't... But we don't develop great players.
I'll give you another reason why. Doesn't pay. unless you get to
you're in Europe playing.
Unless you get to the highest of highest levels.
But not even in the United States, right?
Plus, soccer, at least being a televised sport, where do you find an MLS game? Now, I know you know where to find it, but generally speaking, where do you find an MLS? You don't.
Right.
And the only reason you can watch EPL games is because of what was the, or might still be, the NBC Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
Now they do show it on broadcast TV, but they started doing that, maybe 5 years ago?
Yeah, it's been really recent.
Now, you might see more development in soccer because now you're getting Man United against Man City. But when you look at soccer, you don't look at it as something where, if I'm really good, I can make a lot of money. In tennis, you can. Golf, you can. Baseball, soccer, football, hockey, you can. But do we really, as Americans, look at if we play soccer, we're going to make a lot of money?
No.
Plus, the competition here isn't as good.
No, it isn't.
Right.
Clearly. All right. Good. We got that figured out.
I think we did.
Nicely
coming
done.
Up after the break, we're going to go back to baseball. What should the Rockies do with Chris Bryant? He has 4 years left on his deal. Is that right?
Five, I think.
Should they just cut their losses and be done with them? That's next. Baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Tuesday, there is an auction featuring mini cars, boats, mowers, an expandable house, a forklift, skid steers, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is brought to you by Nola Jane Restaurant and Bar. Let Nola Jane spice up your next trip to Lodo with the best Cajun cuisine in Denver.
Oh, Chris Bryant signed with the Rockies a couple of years ago as the Rockies negotiated against themselves. He's played in 146 out of a possible 385 games. Put on the injured reserve. Seventh time.
Seventh. Since 2022.
Right. In Judaism, the number seven is a lucky number. Chris Bryant Stein is not Jewish. He's making $28 million this year, $27 million for each of the next four seasons, and he has hit .247, 17 bombs, if that's what you want to call it, and 55 RBI.
Oh, he's been a bomb, all right.
He sure has. What should the Rockies do with this guy?
I mean, you know, in baseball, without a salary cap, it's ownership's money to do with as they please. Fine, they can do it. But I will tell you this. If he's stunting someone's growth, if he's taking a roster spot for someone that they need to develop, if they believe that they can be a relevant franchise within the next 2 years, for me, with a franchise like the Rockies, all I want to know is this guy on the roster, fill in the blank, which they happen to be talking about Chris Bryant, is he going to be part of the answer for this franchise in a couple of years? Is he going to be one of the reasons that the Rockies return to some degree of relevance? There is nothing that we have seen over the last 3 years from Chris Bryant that would indicate that that is going to be a thing.
Okay, with that, when you look at the worst deals in Denver sports history, off the top of your head, you could probably come up with four. Arenado, Russell Wilson, now Chris Bryant, and Mike Hampton. What's the worst franchise in the city? The Rockies. Should it be a surprise that 75% of them are from one organization?
Well, now that you put it that way, I guess not.
No.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
Because as you laid it out in the first hour.
I mean, drafting and developing is their biggest issue.
Yeah.
But they keep making bad deals.
Although.
You make the case that Chuchkin might turn out to be that way. But then again, I don't think that he, to the best of my knowledge, he did not have a substance abuse issue before they signed him. He had a playing poorly issue mm-hmm. for his talent.
Yes.
And then he started to play
really
well.
There was a reason he was available.
They did not know that if the Avalanche knew that Nichushkin had a substance abuse issue, I don't think that they would have given him that type of contract extension.
No.
That was a, where the hell did this come from? Okay.
Right.
With Russell Wilson, you could see that he was declining a little bit in Seattle. Chris Bryant, you could see that he was declining a little bit before he got to Colorado. Mike Hampton, that came out of the blue, although you knew that pre-Humidor, his ERA, when they signed him, was nearly 7 at Coors Field,
yep.
and his best pitch was his curveball. You knew that going in. Right? But when you look at the worst trades, to me, the two worst deals, because Hampton wasn't a trade.
Right.
The two worst deals were Hampton and Wilson.
Yeah.
Because the other two solely involved money.
Yeah.
That's it.
Their own money, not our money.
Right.
Right.
The other two have other legs. It's like the Arenado and Chris Bryant deals. That was an octopus with one leg. The other ones, the octopus doesn't have a full complement of 8, but has more than just one. Hampton, to this day, the Rockies refuse to give a big contract to a pitcher. That's long-lasting stuff.
Right.
Losing draft picks with Russell Wilson, that's a big deal as well, and it's a salary cap sport.
Yeah.
So there are other things going on other than just money with those two deals. That's why I would put those two at the top.
Yeah, and I think the Hampton one is probably, although I don't know, man. You gave away 5 high draft picks, 4 really high draft picks.
The Wilson's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst one. That's the worst.
And then he came
one.
In out of shape. And don't say he didn't come out of shape, because the next season he suddenly looked in shape.
That first year was a disaster.
Yeah, well, it didn't help that they hired Hackett.
No, that was double indemnity then, right?
It was.
Yeah.
We got Russell Wilson.
And then you gave him the keys to the kingdom, and that would never, and that's not a good thing.
And to an office.
Bounced back nicely in year 2, but didn't work. Didn't work for Sean Payton, who has a new lease on life now because he's got Bo Nix. And
well, that guy seems like he's whistling through the graveyard,
and
he doesn't
have Russell Wilson.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the opposite of Hackett with Russell Wilson would be for Sean Payton. There would be, like, for Hackett, it's, we have Russell Wilson, whatever, however, you know. What would it be for Sean? What would it be for Sean? We got rid of Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know how he would even say it. But that's, you talk about two guys at totally the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
That's what's happened. But you're still paying for it, and we're going to pay for it for another 2 seasons for Russell Wilson.
Well, yes and no, because remember, they're going to be about 70, 80 plus million under the cap next year.
Right. Right.
It's dead. It's money that the Penners have to pay. It's the draft picks that were the biggest problem.
Yes, that's the biggest problem, is that you're still way behind schedule in draft picks.
No, you didn't have to hire Sean Payton, and I'm sure Russell Wilson would still be with this team.
Mm-hmm. But here we are.
Yeah.
And off we go.
They could hire another first-year head coach, you know, starting with Vance and then Fangio and then Hackett. But they decided to go away from that, which was probably smart.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen in terms of the way things play out, but in wins and losses. But I don't think anyone, if you're around it enough, would say that they're at least on the rails. Now, where those rails take them, we'll see.
Let's put the hiring of Sean Payton into perspective when you look at their three previous hires.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that they just hired had one significant win in the Super Bowl. That's more wins than the other three guys had head coach had combined as head coaches before they took over as the head coach.
Yeah. One game.
He won one game more than those other three combined when they got hired as head coaches, and it just happened to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which he had obviously more wins than that. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed?
We'll discuss Doris Burke making history last night, and this former Bronco is suing the NFL. What's going on here with Randy Gregory? That's next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Tuesday, vehicle, contractor, and rental yard equipment auction featuring mini electric cars, boats, mowers, an expandable house, a forklift, skid steers, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it.
Alrighty, guys. Last night, Doris Burke made history as she became the first woman to serve as a television game analyst for any major men's professional championship event. J.J. Redick took a moment to recognize her, saying, "I called my first one tonight," talking about a finals game. "It is meaningless in the grand scheme of things, but what she did was historic." What do you think about Doris Burke making history last night in the NBA Finals?
Didn't even note it, because she's just so damn good,
right,
that she feels like she's in the right place.
Yep.
Period. That's all I'll say about Doris Burke. One of my favorite people to listen to.
She's great. I look at someone like Doris Burke and my friend Laura Oakman.
Yeah.
And then I look at Lisa Salters,
who's on the broadcast, by the way.
I wonder if she's ever seen Jason Tatum play.
Never let her forget
it. She
might
be surprised.
Yeah.
When she saw him in the playoffs. Yeah.
Still one of the most egregious things I've ever heard.
Probably shouldn't have said it the way she did.
Right. Wasn't there another woman who said something so crazy?
Oh, I don't know.
There was somebody after her.
Don't know.
And I was like, oh, I know. Oh, the one who said she made things up.
Oh, yeah. Carissa Thompson.
Oh, Carissa Thompson. Who used to work in Denver, didn't she?
Rocky Mountain.
Rockies.
Yep.
She was on the Rockies team, yep, or something for, yep, a while.
I'm not saying she's not good. It's
oh,
just,
no, she, well, does a good job.
Yeah. Just,
I wish she hadn't said that.
Keep that one to yourself. Yeah.
All right, just in case you missed it. Last night, I think Mike Kliss broke this story. Former Broncos pass rusher Randy Gregory suing the NFL and the Broncos under Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act and requested a jury to decide the matter. Gregory is seeking repayment of $532,500 in fines the league levied against him for taking what his attorney said was a doctor-prescribed THC called dronabinol, which is synthetic cannabis to treat his social anxiety disorder and PTSD. Peter Schaefer, Gregory's agent, said, "This has nothing to do with the Broncos. They have done nothing wrong. This is all about the NFL." Any thoughts on Randy Gregory suing the National Football League?
I mean, okay. Things have lessened in severity relative to cannabis and things of this nature, so maybe there's some wiggle room. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know enough about it.
I don't know enough about the law But the NFL is a national company. And I'd be curious to see how state law affects a national company.
It's a good question.
So I don't know. I just don't know. But on its surface, Randy Gregory certainly has a case.
Yes, I would think
However, if this went to a federal court, I'm not so sure it would win.
It's too bad Randy Gregory didn't work out here. I liked Randy.
We all liked Randy Gregory.
He had things to say.
But he also had, and you've talked to plenty of people, as did I, he had some serious challenges as well.
He did.
Which is unfortunate.
It is. It's a shame.
Because you know what? You look at a guy, as nice as can be, built physically a specimen.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know what's going on in somebody's head.
You never know, right?
Yep.
You're right.
And you have a lot of empathy for him. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Alex and Nigel, you were great today as always. Same with you, Bruce. I will try and do better on Monday. Make it the best possible weekend you can.